Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live, once a week, Prophecy Reality Edition. And so if you're listening live, come on over to the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net, and there the studio cam is on. And we have a watch screen in the right column there, little itty-bitty screen there, and you can watch it there. I was going to try to get on Odyssey, but Odyssey I can't use on Restream, unless I want to pay Restream $240 a year. And I think that's because Odyssey is still in beta testing for their live stream. So perhaps when they get out of beta testing, Restream will add them, but I don't think I'm going to pay $240 a year to add that channel right now when I don't have very much in the way of listeners or support over there. So come on over to firstmemberradio.net, click on the chat button, and join the conversation there. Okay, well, we're in the middle of summer here, and today it's going to be quite cool. I think it's only going to be like 98 or 100 degrees today here. So I thought, well, I'm going to go live today. I like to take maybe every third weekend off in the summer just to stay out of the hot studio. Plus, I have a lot of summer chores to do during the summer. So anyway, thank you for showing up, those of you who have shown up. Let's see, we do have a scripture for today, and I'm going to 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 8. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Of course, this is Paul writing to Timothy, his young protege. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, for the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only to me, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. And we need to make sure that we are one that will love his appearing. And I'll tell you, the crazier the world gets, the more I long for his appearing. My life's been no picnic, as many of you out there, your life has been no picnic. While you see the world chasing their best life now, making millions or billions of dollars or trying for the lottery every week or gambling their life away or whatever it is they're after right now, their best life, to have all the experiences, watch all the movies, go to all the theme fantasy parks with their children to get their best life now. I think it would be better if your children learn early that their best life is never going to appear on this side of the grave. And if your best life appears on this side of the grave, what about your eternity? Yeah, I'll tell you, I don't want my best life now. I thank God for pain, suffering, sorrow, And I thank God that there is enough happiness and joy and good times to make it bearable. Yeah, to make it bearable. So many, and even with that, there are so many that have it so much worse off than we could ever think. So we need to, in these times, be ready for what is coming. We are nearing the end of the sixth millennium. That the very last millennium before Jesus returns. If, as my posting where I posit that about the year 2055 will be the turn of the millennium, where we will be leaving the sixth millennium behind, and Jesus will return and set up his kingdom, and it will be the seventh or the Sabbath millennium. Looking forward to that. About 2055. I don't know the exact day or hour. I'm not even claiming that's the exact year. But I'm saying that will be about it. And you can check out my work for yourself. Go to my website there and check out the posting. You know, open your Bible. Yeah, please open your Bible. Look it up. Look all the verses up. Make sure I didn't change any of them. I haven't, you know, no motivation for changing them, since I'm after the truth of what is revealed in God's Word as far as a chronology goes from creation and how many thousands of years that we as mankind, speaking as mankind, have been here since the creation. And we are coming up on the year 2055. And so check that out there. There are comments there. That was vetted over from about 2008 to 2013 or thereabouts, where I made the final changes. I made a few small inconsequential changes for clarity and some of the optics on the page. But other than that, we're pretty much stuck with it because nobody's come up with a viable challenge against it. And if someone can find something, you know, the comments are open there, and I will soberly look at any challenges. And I have soberly looked at a lot of challenges. That's why that it took 5 or so years for that to come to the final form that it is in today. And I thank all my listeners, supporters, the followers there, subscribers at my blog, for all of their effort and their work and helping to shape that. I can't take full credit for it. I'm just honored to be able to post it there and host it and present it to whoever the Almighty may bring there to look at it. So make sure you do take a look at that. Go through all the verses, look up all the, you know, engage it and absorb it. Just don't give it a cursory reading and accept it or deny it. You know, make sure you know what is going on with that posting and how we have come to the conclusion that we've come to. Be thoroughly convinced that it is right or that it is wrong. And if you're thoroughly convinced that it is wrong, then the comments are open for your challenges. Please take advantage of that. And knowing, okay, now knowing that we have little time, it's, you know, less than 35 years before the seventh millennium begins, what do we do now? We look at the world around us and we can see that we are getting close by the things that are going on around us. Nations are being shaken to the core, especially the Western nations, the nations where liberty and justice prevailed for several centuries now, are now being shaken again. And all of this was foretold in prophecy. There's nothing surprising here. I had a good friend sent me something that he's working on. Let me share this with you. And this is a chart here. This is his draft form of it. and looking forward to him finishing it. But he's drafted out the biblical history chart, beginning, and you can see here the Babylonian, Medo-Persian, the Greece, the Empire of Rome, and the whole thing is charted out here. And you put it on a chart like this, and he's, as you can see on the end part here, which is closest to my face, this is the part he's still working on. And so it's nice to see this in this form, and I'm sure that he'll let me know when it's done, and I can, we can share this with all of you, with his permission. So I want to thank Sam for sending me that. I can disagree with very little, in this chart. He says, well, he has the copies of the Jorge Apocalyptica, the quincentennial version that I, the quincentennial Reformation version that I published, using that. And, he also has my latest books, he says, and I'm sure other writings. And, but I can see a lot of, E.B. Eliot in this chart here. So, but we're getting close. We're right here where this is vacant. This is the period we're in, coming on since the, French Revolution, which he has there at the end. My pointer doesn't show up on this. Anyway, we are getting near the end, and we need to live soberly with all of this in mind, that our best life can never be now. Okay, we've had America, the Western nations over the last several centuries, have enjoyed something that was unforeseen for many, many years. And I'm certain there have been pockets here and there throughout history where some people enjoyed liberty and freedom and had good life. But during these last two centuries, the 19th and 20th centuries, the missionary eras were depicted in the Revelation as the angels flying through heaven, spreading the gospel throughout the earth. I believe that's the proper interpretation. And those eras there, the 19th and 20th centuries, well, those are over, and we're getting to the time of great tribulation that leading up to. I mean, and the world has experienced tribulation throughout those two centuries at the same time. But there have been pockets where that people enjoyed liberty and freedom and prosperity much more than others. Like I said, especially over here in the North American continent. So, but we are getting close to that time, and we need to love his appearing, because my best life will never be on this side of the grave, and I thank God that my life hasn't been easy, that it has been difficult from its beginning. And I see other people, they're so happy, they have so much going on, they have money, they have prosperity, they have nice cars all the time, the nicest houses and everything they could want, and they proclaim that they're living their best life now. I feel sorry for them. I thank God that I'm not living my best life. That by his Spirit, it's a gift. If our life has been terrible even, that we have something to look forward to. All of the promises of God are coming. And with a body that will never grow old, never get sick. As a matter of fact, we're going to be looking our best. You know, there's the idea that Jesus was resurrected at 33. Oh, that was one thing. If Sam is listening on his chart, he put in here, the crucifixion, but he needs to put crucifixion and resurrection, because it doesn't just end with the crucifixion on the chart. That was one thing going through the details of it that I noticed. But Paul says, and you know, I'm going to be 70 years old in 2023, because I was born in 1953. And so, you know, and when my time is done, whenever that is, sometime between now and if the Lord returns and I live another 35 years, that'll make me a fairly old man. Yeah. I'm hoping I could have created my chronology. What year is it chronology? I mean, if I had a choice, I would have made him come sooner. But see, that shows you right there that there's no agenda with me in finding that date. Cause my agenda, if I could make it happen and Christ would come sooner, when I could surely live to that age, because it's unlikely that I can live to be 100 and, you know, whatever I got to be 102 or 3 when in 2055, because that's how old I'll have to be then. How likely is that? It could happen. A lot of people do. But I want to serve God until my departure from this mortal coil, as they say. And so there's no retirement for me. This is my retirement, okay? My retirement is a long succession of serving the Lord. I've retired from the world, okay? And so I will serve him till he comes or until he takes me, however that is. And so I have 3 modes of departure. I could die. You know, I could, whatever, you know, there are a million ways to die. I could get hit by a Mack truck. A plane could crash on my house. You know, I could be poisoned. I could get COVID. Oh my God. And die from, or I could die from the regular flu, not just the panic-demic flu. Okay, variety. Or the Gestapo could show up one day, pin me down on the ground and jab me with some poison. And I could die from that, you know, have anaphylactic shock or something. Or, you know, they could throw me into prison because I can't keep my mouth shut about Jesus, the gospel, and I can't stop protesting against the Antichrist. And his mark of the beast. All these things. There's a lot of ways I could go. They could burn me at the stake. They could chop my head off with a guillotine. You know? Or I could just lay down in my bed one day and not wake up the next and be gone. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen. But whatever is going to happen, I want to serve God with my life to the best of my ability until that day, whatever that day is. I pray that I could live and be useful until he comes. I'd like to be one of those few that are translated in the moment and the twinkling of an eye at the resurrection, when he returns to meet him in the air after those who preceded me, the dead in Christ shall rise first, the scripture says, and then those who are alive and remain will be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. I'd like to do that. It might happen. You know, God hasn't told me. He's not telling me. He doesn't have to. He's God. I'm just his servant. I only need to be obedient and allow his Holy Spirit to continue to conform me to the image of his only begotten Son. I am in that process of getting, of being perfected. Yeah, being perfected. Let's see. Oh, let me check out the various chat rooms here and see what's going on. Ooh, the weather today. Oh, it says 103. Yeah, that's nice to know. Nobody's at Odyssey, of course, because nobody's there. Let's see. Oh, that's not the right one. Trovo. It says one viewer, but I don't know if that's true. Got a few viewers at DLive. And maybe, let me see if I actually can do this. Oh, yes. And put a link to the chat room over there at DLive to our First Amendment Radio chat room if you want to join the chat there. Come on over. Okay. All right. Well, in this segment coming up, well, maybe I'll announce it in the segment coming up, but I wanted to talk about something peculiar, to something to have to do with ratio, and has made me think of Ratio Studiorum, another educational instruction book for the Jesuit order, the Ratio Studiorum. Everything I see, Odyssey is not on, WW. It would cost me $240 to add Odyssey to Restream. So, per year. Yeah. So until Odyssey gets out of beta testing with their stream, I don't think that they're going to be added to Restream, and I have to pay extra to add them, as it is, because it's called to add a custom, destination. And since I don't have any listeners there, I'm not going to pay $240 to add them. Mr. Wordsworth says the golden ratio. No, Ratio Studiorum. Look it up. It's instruction for Jesuit instruction. Yeah, that's what it is. Yikes. Oh, WW, yikes on having to pay $240. See, because when I first got Restream, I could put a custom destination in. Actually, all the destinations were custom then, but they changed it so that you have to pay them money. Yeah. Not nice. I'm pretty sure that, so just have to wait, I guess. It's either that or I just go on Odyssey and nobody else. But okay, well, that's enough about the tech talk anyway. Well, that's how that works out. Okay, so we're going to talk about something that's going on, something peculiar that I found, how some people are getting a placebo instead of the vaccine. Ooh, I said the word, didn't I? That's the forbidden word. So some people are getting a placebo instead of the jab, or with their, yeah, they're getting jabbed with a placebo instead of the, you know, panic concoction. So we'll talk about that and what that means when we get back from these messages. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur. This is a Prophecy Reality Edition. Yes, live. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And in this segment, we're going to talk a little bit about the panic demic of 2020 and what is, well, more than that, really what's going on since 2021. You've all seen the hockey stick chart where deaths from previous years adverse reactions remain 100 or 200 per year for the last 30 years. But then suddenly in 2021, it's up to just in America, and just the deaths that are registered have now reached 10,000. Now, in previous years, when they had rolled out previous vaccines like the swine flu and others, and people started having adverse reactions and a couple people died, they shut it down right away. But what is different about this year? Well, this year, a couple lives, don't matter. I mean, now, if two people died and you had 10 adverse reactions, it was shut down. But now you have millions of adverse reactions and 10,000, only 10,000 reported deaths. It doesn't matter. It's, you know, the risks don't outweigh the benefits. The benefits outweigh the risks. That's like the ends justify the means. It's kind of the same way of saying that same, what is commonly called a Jesuitical phrase. The means justify the ends. That means you can do anything you want as long as the means justify the ends. The benefits outweigh the risks. But for who? And what is the benefit that outweighs these risks? Well, it must be according to whoever's in charge of this thing, or the people in charge of this thing, or certainly the benefits of earning billions of dollars for certain sectors of the economy, the super rich. Definitely those benefits outweigh the risk of tens of thousands of people dying. Or how about the benefit of population reduction? Doesn't that outweigh the risk of death? Because that's the object, is the reduction of the population. Well, as you can see behind me that I have here, this Walgreens store mistakenly injects saline instead. What's going on here? You know, I never remember ever seeing this before, where people were mistakenly injected with saline. And how did they discover that they were injected with saline? This isn't one store. Here's another one. Where's this one at? Walgreens in Monroe, North Carolina. Let's see, we have another one here. Why were people given saline instead? In South Carolina. So we got North Carolina, South Carolina. And let's see, we got another article here. You'll get the idea. Patients receive saline shots instead in Sauk Center. And this is in Minnesota. And there's plenty more of these around here. So what's going on here? Now, when you start thinking about deception, how do you get people to volunteer for population reduction? You can't just roll out poison and give it to everyone, can you? But what if, say, you did a ratio, say, of 30% real transhuman injection material? We'll call it transhuman injection material because it transforms your DNA. It gives your DNA mRNA as instructions for your body to create, you know, the spike protein. Yeah, that's what it is. Your body's receiving. So this transhuman instruction, let's say it was, I don't know the exact ratio, but something fishy is going on here. Because usually, you know, we got it down. We know how poison works. You know, in rat poison, they put like, you know, 1, 2, or 3, depending on the poison, 3%, 1, 2, or 3% of the poison, and the rest is food. Otherwise the rats wouldn't eat it. So the rats go for the 97, 8, or 9% food, and it's got that 1, 2, or 3% poison on there, depending on what type of poison you're using, and it kills the rat. Okay? So we know, or you give people, they have all kinds of, there are literally thousands of medicines out there. And the medicines have different effects on different people according to their physiology, what they eat and stuff. But all this stuff is researched out. So they know that for certain people suffering certain things in certain sectors of the population, that they have these symptoms. If you give them this medicine, it will do this. Okay? And so we pretty much know what's going to happen. But why is this different all of a sudden? You have certain people in the population getting just simple headaches or common reactions, swelling, breaking out in hives all over, getting inflammation in their heart, blood clots all over their body and in their brain. But why is it only happening to a small amount, a number of the people? Well, see, if I were trying to roll out something to deceive the people, it would make sense to make, say, 70% of what you're getting to people to take a placebo, a saline solution that does really nothing. You might get a little soreness from it in your arm. It seems to be a common reaction from being injected with a saline shot. Okay? And if 70% of the people go, I feel great, it's not bothering me, go ahead, they talk to their neighbors and everyone goes out there. And they get it. And then there are people that die immediately or within a few weeks or a month, and or some people, we don't know the long-term effects. It's only been months. And so when are they going to flip it, so to say? And now all of these vials are marked with a barcode. Are there people that know which ones are which? Can they target certain areas of the population to get people to go along? Because if 70% of the people have no effects at all and only 30% suffer severe death to mild symptoms, then that seems to be what's going on. My hypothesis says, okay, this is a hypothesis. If I wanted to reduce the population of the world and I were one of those, say, working for the image of the beast, because we're talking about the Antichrist and his machinations here, and of course we know who his boss is. The Antichrist boss is Satan, and he has a shadow government that pretty much rules the world. And if that hasn't become obvious to you by now, then you'll never have a clue. You know, go out and get your shot. Yeah. It's for the greater good. Yes, indeed. Yeah. So, when are they going to flip it? Okay. Well, I think September is their date for flipping, because that seems to be what's coming out in the military. We had Marxist Milley. Yeah, we had Marxist Milley come out and say they're going to make it mandatory in September. So Marxist Milley probably knows something. He's probably one of the people in the know, since he does work for the Antichrist and Marxism, socialism, you know, this is all Antichrist, contrived from its very beginning. Okay? Seriously. Because that's what the Antichrist government is. It's intimated there in chapter 13 because you have to have totalitarian, the central government to roll out the mark of the beast and require the whole world to receive it. And see, that's where this likeness between the mark of the beast and mandatory kind of mesh, especially when you consider that they're holding off with the Lucifer race tattoo system of transhumanism, okay, that they're going to roll out and require once they make it mandatory, it's just a matter of time to track it. They're going to need a mark to go with it. Okay? And that mark right now, it's your ID, and you know, you have to show your ID or whatever to, you know, because that's going to become problematic in the future. So it's going to have to be something on your body, like the Luciferase tattoo transhuman injection. Excuse me. let's see. Okay, W. I never heard of any of that stuff, Mr. W. How do you have your own podcast? Well, let's see if Mr. Wordsworth wants to do a broadcast. We might have room for him on First Amendment Radio over here. I like what he says in the chat room anyway. The phantasmological Jesuit dialectical for the greater good ratio. Oh, dramatic theater of the ratio studio and using the camera obscura and Laterna Magica. Yes. The Laterna Magica. Okay. Yeah. Well, we're going to have to go through a ratio studiorum one of these days, I can see. That's going to take a little restudying up to get into that. And I really haven't studied into that. Maybe that's something we'll have to put on our calendar to share the ratio studio. Well, you can look it up yourself. It's available. It's $15.99. About $15.99. Document, instructions for Jesuit education. Yeah. So if you want to read on Jesuit educational instruction, it's there for you. But we went through the Jesuit instructions for, you know, their New World Order. When they make this thing mandatory, and they can make it mandatory in the military when the FDA decides that it is no longer just for emergency use, but for regular, like other vaccines that have been vetted over the last 30 years, but actually went through like 10 years, you know, of trials to vet them, to keep that number of people of deaths and adverse reactions down to where it was from 2020 and for the last 30 years. And you notice there's another thing that is very telling in that graph. You have seen it. If not, go to firstamendmentradio.com Facebook page and you'll see it there, the chart. But the peculiar thing about the chart is that in up through 2019, it's pretty steady, but in 2020, the adverse reactions and reported deaths takes a dip. Do you know what happened in 2020? Why it would have taken a dip? I don't even think I have to tell you. Let's see. Friend or enemy? Your name and where you're calling from? Yeah. Okay. Well, that was not a call. That was a non-call. But yeah, it took a dip in 2020 because all of the children were not going to school and getting their regular injections. Yeah. So you see why there was a dip? See, the charts don't lie. They can't even, what can we say? So you know there's a dip for that 1 year, and then, but in 2021, it goes, it takes off, and we're not through the year yet. And they're already at 10,000 on the CDC, you know, that agency, that Antichrist agency of the image of the beast, the WHO and CDC, because they're not, yeah. these belong to the Antichrist, just like Washington DC belongs to the Antichrist. That's his central government on the North American continent from, yeah. But anyway, you can read all about that, in prophecy. Okay, so will they flip it to 70-30 to 30% placebo, 70%? Because I think that, and there would be a reason why that a lot of people would receive saline, and some people would, you know, because someone will do a test on one of these, outside sources could test once in a while and go, wow, this is just saline. What's going on here? And now I've read in several of these stories that they're mixing the toxin. I mean, they're mixing the transhuman concoctions. They're at the place where they're giving them away for free. Okay. And somehow they didn't mix it right. Just gave out the saline instead. It seems pretty there, but they have to make up some kind of cover story to cover up how this could happen suddenly. I mean, did this happen always in the past? I mean, if it was a normal happenstance, it might be quite believable if they could show me some historical events, because here's the thing is they use saline, solution in some, as placebo in some, but here actually, in the few month studies that they did, they were using different vaccines as a placebo. But that's not a true placebo either. And, you know, that came out last year. But they didn't make a lot of noise about that. They don't make a lot of noise about anything that goes against their agenda out here in the world. So there's something to be aware of there. And that's why so many people are walking around happy going, oh, I got a sore arm and that's it. And that's why it seems that most people, are not being affected by the rat poison, because it's 100% food. But only, say, 30% of the people are getting the stuff with 3% rat poison in it. Okay? So, and you know, people do live through rat poison. Most rats don't, but people have mistakenly or even on purposely eaten rat poison and lived. Okay? It's happened before. I know people, well, there are people who have been bitten by rattlesnakes and lived. Yeah. Yeah, I don't see. And Sid says, as a nurse for most part of my dark life, I and many healthcare personnel faked flu injections. Woo. Yeah. See, and, you know, if they, I don't know, we may have to pay someone to fake our injection, because I don't want to take a chance whether it's 30-70 or 70-30. I'm gonna luck out and get a placebo. I'd rather pay someone $1,000 to fake my injection, to tell you the truth. I mean, if it came to it, they had, whatever. So I will, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. I'll just resist as long as I can. And, we'll see where this takes us. I have no idea where this is going, but to me, it seems like, you know, we're getting to the mark of the beast phase. And I've been saying, well, 2030 is their 2030 agenda. So I'm thinking by 2030, it's going to be it. Okay. That's going to be it. So while we have any liberty, we need to fight back, with everything we have. We need to resist, no matter what. I believe there's going to be a lot of people walking out of the military, refusing to get, the transhuman, transformational, thing that's, a lot of people in the military aren't going to do it because they're like me and they're like you and they say, no, ever, never will I ever take it. This is something that's going to rewrite, you know, introduce new instruction. See, I believe that God made man and that God wrote all of the instruction in our very complex DNA that, you know, that starts out as a little seed impregnating a little egg inside the womb of a woman. And that instruction from there developed into me today. Okay? Produced a little baby in the womb. I don't want any additional instruction by people that I don't, wicked men who want to reduce the population of the earth. You know? Talking to my granddaughter the other day, and I said, you know, please don't get the transhuman jab. And she says, no, I want to have children. Yeah. My 18-year-old granddaughter, that's what she told me. So at least I got one intelligent granddaughter out there. Not saying that any of the other ones are not. All the other ones are younger. Her brothers and sisters are younger. So we're working on them. They're all of them homeschooled. None of them jabbed ever, so praise God for that. And so we've got a good resistance going here where we're at, and that's all we can do is just resist until the Lord comes or to find out whatever we're going to do. If we have to bug out and vacate, then we'll do that too. Yeah, whatever we have to do to resist having that transformational solution forced into our bodies by the likes of Bill Gates and his cabal of Antichrist adherents, the Antichrist Borg, who are trying to assimilate us. Yeah, while they won't be assimilated, they're already assimilated in their minds and in their bodies and in their souls. And because we won't go, well, they think they can transform us by having our, introducing new instructions into God's creation. Yeah. I'm not going for it, and I hope you're not. Okay, well, that's the gong, so to speak. We're gonna have a few messages and some news, and we will be back, and we're gonna talk more about prophecy in the last hour. Your questions, comments, whatever. So make sure you come back then.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality edition. And I had a few things to comment here from the chat room I thought was interesting. Tom W. says, so are the placebos given to certain types of people and poison to others? That's a question, I guess. He says, I've been told by family members that have taken the JAB, that it was all ready for them when they arrived for their appointment. He says, that's been my theory all along. And I guess the point there is they have certain, that they're ready to give one or the other to whoever on certain occasions. Now that may be true, or they could be, like I said, they just could be doing it randomly. Certainly there are certain areas where people are more compliant, like in the cities, where they would want more people to get a placebo. And then there may be rural areas where more people are inclined to be, conservative, where they may want to make the placebo less, the ratio. We'll use the word ratio. So they have different ratios of placebo versus transhuman injection in different areas. It's possible. Or that, can they target people with certain things? Well, I think they will be targeting when they roll out the mandatory stuff, when they start going door to door. I think there will be certain people who will be targeted once they make it mandatory under certain circumstances, because these people have the information. They know everyone everywhere, who's at what address, where everyone lives. Okay? So they will have the capacity to target. And that's why this whole Mark of the Beast thing is such a dangerous notion that they can, I mean, and they're already doing it. You know that these people in charge, they will do this. They will shut off your money. They're already doing that. People are losing their bank accounts, losing their transaction processors on their websites and their businesses, even their checking accounts, because of their business or because of their political leanings. See, this should all be illegal in a free country where we have liberty and free enterprise. No business should be able to especially the banking business, because there is a monopoly, a government given monopoly in banking. None of these banks or processors should be able to do this. because I can't go out and open up a processing center and a bank on my own. I have to go through the federal government and be licensed by the Federal Reserve, because the Federal Reserve, with the Federal Reserve Act back in 1913, when it was passed, were given a monopoly over the banking system in America. So they should not be able to do that on political or religious grounds, but they are doing it. And if they're doing it now already, just think. See? This is just a foretaste. I mean, they're not just canceling people on social media, but they're canceling people financially. And that's how it begins. And so it has begun. That's all there is to it. It has already begun. All of these things, they start out incrementally and then they build up to totality. And so we're in the incremental phase now. And the increment, the phase of becoming more prevalent as we head toward 2030. And this whole panic, demic, play is just part of the whole scene and, fulfilling prophecy. But here's the good news. I watched Steve, Lawson, do a sermon this weekend on the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. He's in charge. There's nothing happening that he has not allowed to happen, that he did not foresee happening, that is not working for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, for us, we just have to make sure that we are one with God, that we are one of his elect, that we are one that loves God and are called according to his purpose, that we are being conformed to the image of his only begotten Son. Then all things work together for our good. Yes. Let's see. Exact, they can, oh, incrementally will lead to the micro, oh, yeah, the Luciferase or Luciferase patch. Love that name, Luciferase. There's no mistaking that, is there? I mean, no, let's not get confused about what's really going on and is this where it's going? Yes, this is where it's going. People object to the needle. Yeah. So they're going to roll out this. They're working on it right now. They had this recent, you know, the supposed warp speed development. They already had it in 2019. It was already developed. This, every time the government does anything, all they're doing is paying off people to get over their conscience. Because even the wicked have a conscience. But it's nothing that money and riches and power can't overcome, is it? See, money and riches and power can't overcome the conscience of the elect, but for most of the world, yeah, it can do it. There are a few out there, maybe, that, you know, their conscience will get them in the end. It happened to Judas, yeah. In the end, he had to go out and hang himself. And then you have the world. It's always, you know, it's always turning on itself. And, you know, it's like watching feral cats when they start turning on themselves. So, but it's kind of good when they turn on themselves, because it gives the illusion to the world, good for them, that somebody's doing something against some evil person that did something evil. When they're all evil, and as long as their agenda moves forward, it doesn't matter if they eat a few of their own alive. They chew up and swallow a few of their own and trample them in the dust. It doesn't matter. It's Satan's agenda. He can always find new people to pay off to get over their conscience, because he controls the money. The Bible tells us this, so how can we not believe it? The Bible tells us in chapter 13 that the Antichrist and the image and the second and the first beast would all work together and force people to take part in a monetary system that is totally evil. And that's what we have today. That's what fiat money is. They just create it out of thin air, and they have the power of the creation, not the people. Okay? If it weren't for evil, it's because we have evil in the world that we need fiat money. Because without evil, we wouldn't need it. Gold and silver trade in substance would be money, you know, as it was in the past. But you see, every time evil government gets in there, they start to, you know, mix in a little pot metal with the silver or the gold, and they start to, you know, water down the monetary system until it's worthless. But now it's digital, and we see where that's going. And that's another part of this upsetting the whole financial system of the world with this, you know, it's just a bonus for them, if not a planned bonus for them, to destroy the monetary systems, especially of the free Western world, because it was so prosperous, because that's what liberty does. Liberty makes people prosperous, but then riches and money can deceive people, you know. The deceitfulness of riches deceives people into thinking they don't need God, that they have done it for themselves, and so they walk away from God. Yeah. Okay. Sid says, if I, as a nurse at a med level position, faked it because some of us knew it was not good for you, then I assume higher positions would have done all manner of things. Oh yeah, well I don't for a minute believe that any of these people that have developed the transhuman jab, yeah, I don't believe for a minute that any of them are taking it. I'm sure that if they're on record that they made sure that what they received was not the transhuman concoction. Yes, may God protect his people. Well, God has allowed his people to suffer, to even be wiped out in the past. But the promise is eternal life. You know, God won't allow you to suffer anything that you aren't going to suffer already, like death. You know, as the scripture says, that we're not to fear them that can merely kill us. Because we're gonna die anyway. This mortal life is short, and we need to look forward to if it comes to that, which it is going to come to that. We are getting into that. The great time of great tribulation, not the 7-year tribulation deception of the dispensationalists, because they're out there going, whew, I don't have to worry about that because the mark of the beast and the Antichrist is not going to be revealed until they start building the temple, and then I'm going to be raptured and I won't be here, so it doesn't matter anyway. That's the dispensational 7-year counter-reformation tribulation deception. That keeps a lot of them asleep. But they'll be disabused of that when they start doing their, what do they call it, Abraham Accord on the Temple Mount. When they start building their bringing the three great Abrahamic faiths together on the Temple Mount, no one's raptured. The diehard ones will wait for the post-tribulation position. They'll go through each one. Of course, they all want the pre-trib, right? The pre-trib rapture position. And when that doesn't play out, well, they'll go for the mid-trib position. They'll wait the 3.5 years. 4 years will go by, 5, 6, 7. 5 or 6 years go by and they go, oh, well, it's got to be post because, you know, so they'll wait for the post trib and that won't play out either. Because I believe that Satan's going to play this whole thing out just to discredit the Bible. Of course, discredit the Bible based upon a false eschatological scheme that was made up by his Jesuit, Francisco Ribera in 1570 and added to and built upon, because they added about, what is it, 1830 or thereabouts, they added the pre-trib rapture to that. Yeah. And so they kept building on that. Yeah, let's go with something that was just created a couple hundred years ago that never even existed before, a pre-tribulation rapture before the resurrection. Very suspicious, I must say. Yeah. So, make sure you have the Prophecy Reality News app on your stupid phone. Or if you have a Apple product, you can't get the Prophecy Reality News app, you can put a shortcut to the page, firstamendmentradio.net/MOBI, and you can, that's our app, that's our web-based app, because that's all an app is. You know, Apple could put Android apps on their phones if they could allow that if they wanted to, but they charge $100 a year for each app to get on their Apple product in their Apple app store. Yeah, I call that extortion, when they could just as well allow every app across the whole internet on their phone. And they won't allow Apple apps from their Apple store on Android phones, because they would sue to keep them off, because they like their exclusivity and they like getting $100 from every single app out there. I decided when they came up with that 2 years ago, I decided I was not going to pay to make this rich billion-dollar corporation richer even by $100 a year so I could have an app. I thought, well, you know, if there are any smart people out there with Apple products, they can load the page and put a shortcut to it on their Surface. I mean, I'm smart enough to do that, and I'm not that smart, or I should say I'm not that smartphone savvy. I've never watched a whole video. I've caught a few seconds of videos on my stupid phone, but I've never watched a whole video on my stupid phone. I decided that's going too far. Why would I want to look at that little screen? If I want to watch a video, I'm going to put it on a bigger screen where my eyes can actually see it. Maybe that's an advantage to getting older and having to wear these glasses, is that I can see a big screen far away fine, but the little stuff is hard to see. Yeah. Oh, there it is. Let's see, the Jesuit Manuel Lacunza invented the rapture. Oh, is that Lacunza? Huh, really? I thought he had more to do with the preterist determination. Or, I'm not sure, but I've heard the name Lacunza quite a bit. I thought he was the preterist guy, or is that somebody else? Anyway. I could be wrong or right about that. I haven't spent much time looking into Lacunza and preterism. Preterism is such a unacceptable idea that very few people try to hold to it. I do cover that in my book. What's the name of that book? Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. That's it. So check that out. This is where a co-host would come in handy. I'm hoping my grandson, who just turned 16, my oldest grandson just turned 16, I'm hoping that he says he wants to join me in my venture here, but I guess he can't get away from his mom yet. But, yeah, hoping he'll join me here sometime in the next year or so. And, as part of, cause I want to train him to be the manager of First Amendment Radio, cause I think we could grow a lot more in the time we have left until 2030. Yeah. But so praying for that, always praying for my grandchildren, my nieces and my nephew. And my great nieces and nephews and great, well, I don't have any great grandchildren yet, but could happen. I have three daughters. Well, I have two grandchildren, 18 plus. And, yeah, that's it. two granddaughters, 18 plus. So I could get some great grandchildren here sometime in the next few years. I got a whole half hour to go here, so I'll have to put something on my plate for the next segment. Let's see. The Jesuit Luis de Alcazar invented preterism. Okay, Mr. Wordsworth says. His pen name was Ben Ezra. That's, I remember that part. I work on a boat to try to find safe places for Christians. Oh, a boat, huh? Yeah, an underground railroad. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm already kind of underground. I have no government sanction ID. I had a passport that was issued in the 1990s. They still know that over there at the State Department, but they won't issue me a new passport because I refuse to participate in socialism. And, this is the point between now and 2030 where you need to opt out and back away. I know it's difficult, but it's going to be more difficult the closer you get. Because you're going to get the jab or the Luciferase to be able to continue. That's going to be part of it. And maybe we'll talk about those things in our last segment coming up here. Okay, well, I'll be back after these messages.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. Those breaks are always too short. Yes, indeed. Okay. We're going to talk in this segment about how can we, any help in the chat room would be fine. How to prepare for losing all of your financial institutions, your debit card, your bank account, your livelihood, your socialist security check, your pension, and not to participate in the Mark of the Beast monetary system. How are we going to do that? How can you prepare for that when it comes? Well, better start preparing now. We're going on 2022. 2030 is their date for the Mark of the Beast. That's why I keep using the phrase the 2030 March to the Mark of the Beast, because the 2030 agenda is part of it. If by 2023, which I think would be well in line with their agenda, you see the Abraham Accord or the Temple Mount construction beginning, then you know that they're going to try to pull off their 7-year tribulation deception before 2030. It would make sense to mesh that in and get that done and over with, to discredit the Bible by then and the whole Mark of the Beast. Because by discrediting Bible eschatology, they can discredit the Mark of the Beast prophecy with it. See? That's why I think they want to pull this play off. And they haven't stopped working on it. That's why we have this new initiative, the Abraham Accord, going on behind the scenes with Donald Trump, but still going on now, regardless, because it is a Vatican initiative initiated by, of course, the Antichrist and his shadow government, regardless of who the President of the United States is. So if you read my book, When the Third Temple is Built, you can just put Abraham Accord in there. It's pretty much the same thing. So as we see all of this culminating, we know what's coming because we read the scripture, and we have, it's not a 7-year tribulation. The tribulation of those days, and in context there in chapter 24 of Matthew, the Olivet Discourse there, the tribulation of those days, yes, the tribulation of those days. It doesn't say the great tribulation. It says there will be great tribulation. It's a small g, not a capital G, not a proper name for that period of time. But it's just a tribulation that precedes the coming of Christ. And what do you think? Are we in it yet? Is this now great tribulation? Does this qualify when we're looking at the destruction of the liberties of the Western nations that have been prosperous for the last couple centuries since the Antichrist's 1260-year reign ended? That's when it began. The missionary eras, the two missionary eras with the prosperity of the Western nations at the same time, the continued punishing of those that refused to repent of their evil deeds. So we had the world wars going on, and all of those Antichrist nations that refused to repent being punished throughout, and still continues to today. Look what's happening still over there. So all of this foretold in the scripture and the Revelation. I just finished my study, my current study on the exposition of the Revelation, put it in a book form. You can listen to the Audible version for free. Go to my website there at crosstheborder.org, click on the Bible Studies tab, and select Revelation, the book of Revelation there, and the Audible version will come up for you. So you can take advantage of, go through the entire book of Revelation. That's why it's called an exposition of the Revelation, because we go through every book of the Revelation. So if you want a good historicist understanding of the Revelation that brings us up to today, well, that is there for you. So it says we are far into the tribulation. Yes. The tribulation of those days. And there's no 7-year period that is outlined anywhere in the scripture for the final tribulation of those days leading up to the return of Christ. I would rather say that some people call it a time of Jacob's trouble, and they put it at 7 years. I believe the original time of Jacob's trouble, the only place that phrase appears in the Bible, I believe it's referring to the actual time of Jacob's trouble, the time between the crucifixion, resurrection of Jesus and the destruction of the temple, that 40-year period from 30 to 70 AD. I believe that was the time of Jacob's trouble, because it was Jacob's trouble. But because the 70th week is already, the time of Jacob's trouble began in the midst of the 70th week, and it ended 40 years later. That's what I believe. It is not a 7-year period, and it's not the 70th week. The 70th week was the week of the Messiah, not the Antichrist. Excuse me. That's what the 70th week was all about. It was the week of the Messiah. It's when Jesus would appear. The scripture says after the 7 and the 62 weeks, after the 69 weeks total there, that the Messiah would appear. That would make it the 70th week, because 70 does follow 69, despite all of the machinations to the contrary of the Counter-Reformation schemes. Okay, 70 follows 69, and it did, and Jesus did appear. And in the midst of the week, he put an end to the sacrifice and oblation by the sacrifice of himself. And I say, if anyone doesn't understand that, then they don't understand the gospel at all. Jesus, by the sacrifice of himself, put an end to the temple sacrifice and oblation by the sacrifice of himself in the midst of the week. And when that happened, you know, then he was crucified, he died, and then he was resurrected. He rose from the dead because death had no claim on him, because he never sinned. And by his resurrection, we are resurrected. First, when we are born again, we are spiritually resurrected, so to speak. And his blood covers our sins. So that when we finally do, when our body, the demise of our mortal flesh, finally goes to the grave, that death will look on us also. And because we're covered by the blood of Jesus, by faith, we are the seed of Abraham, that we will be raised from the dead too, because death will have no claim on us by what Jesus did for us. We can't pay the price for our own sins and rise from the dead. Because believe me, everyone who does not accept Christ, they will pay the price for their own sins. But death will hold them. They will not be able to escape. They will not be looked on as innocent, because their blood is not innocent. So you can pay the price for your own sins? Bad plan. If you're a thinking man, if you're a thinking man, woman, or child out there, that is not the right plan. There's so many people in pride. I don't need Jesus. I'm sorry. You're right. You don't need Jesus if you don't mind being dead forever. If you don't mind going to the grave and meeting death and not being able to escape it. Yeah, that's a good plan for if that's your destination, if that's what you want. You better get your best life now. You better, because this is it. This is all you got. How pitiful is that? For people working for retirement, so I can travel and see the world and enjoy life finally. But, you know, that hardly ever works out, because I know what happens when people get old. Especially if they don't take care of their health. They get old and infirm, and life can be hard on you anyway. Even if you try very hard, you can still die young. Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. For verily I say to you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Okay, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. When he comes, there'll be no mistake. Because when we see him, we'll be like him. We'll be caught up with him. We know that from other scripture verses. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened? And that's the tribulation. That's all it says. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. That's what it says about the tribulation preceding the return of Christ. When he comes. Okay? That the tribulation of those days, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now this is apocalyptic language, I believe. And it's talking about the evil, the rulers of evil of this world are going to fall. Okay? If we go with the apocalyptic language and interpretation of this, that's what it's talking about. Why? Because then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and he shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And we know that when he comes, that he's going to set up a millennial kingdom. 1,000 years. And that 1,000 years is going to demonstrate something else that has never truly been demonstrated upon the earth yet. And that is the rule of Jesus and the righteous. Okay? So, and I write quite a bit about that in my last book. The last three chapters of my book are about the millennium and the age to come, that millennial reign. Why we believe it, what the Bible says about it, and what we can expect during that time. So the tribulation of those days, and those days, spoken thereof in Matthew 24:29, the tribulation of those days are the days that we are in now. There's no numerical designation given to those days. There's no 7 years given. That's the juxtaposed 70th week of the dispensational counter-reformation eschatological scheme, which I can just shortly call, to sum it up, the 7-year tribulation deception. That will play out, and we're going to see that play out, I believe. Like I said, that's what I wrote this book about, when the third temple is built. And I wrote this specifically for dispensationalists. So, and anyone can get a copy of this free by going to my website, click on the free ebook tab there and follow the instructions, and make sure in the comment when you follow the instructions that you say, I would like that book when the third temple is built. And I'll send you a copy of that in EPUB or PDF or both, whatever. Doesn't matter. I usually just send both to make sure that they get, whoever's asking gets the one they want. So it's getting close, people. We just have to endure till the end. And this is an endurance race. It's not a race where you have to be first. You just have to endure until the end comes. And, serve God till he comes. Okay, what can we do? Well, get some stuff you can trade, whether it's salt or beans or rice or silver, like, junk silver coins, old U.S. Dimes, quarters, half dollars, silver dollars, or even silver rounds of any kind usually are good. The more trusted ones are the government minted ones, so that's why I suggest having those. So if as much as you can, if you can get a, well, this stuff's expensive now. I remember 20 years ago you could buy $1,000 face value silver for $3,000 or $4,000. And now I think it's like 10 times that. So, yeah, but buy whatever you can, you know. Go to coins, some coin shops sell junk silver coins for practically bullion value. It's usually a little bit more than bullion. Let's see. Okay, what do we got going on in the chat room here? Guess nobody's got any ideas in the chat room here. Too much to read. Okay, we all need to be humbled and brought low in grief and godly sorrow for our wrongdoing against God Almighty. In order to be truly born again, many errantly think and believe they are of Christ when they are not, and that's likely true. I have been a poisoned hermit for the past. Okay, I don't know what that means. well, for the past decade, while others were enjoying their friends and family living the Roman Jesuit circus of sin and delusion. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I'm turning more into a hermit all the time myself. I know what that's like. Right now there's nobody here but me, the cats and the animals. My daughter, who's usually here working with me every day, is visiting family for a month. So, let's see, can you imagine comparing U.S. at this point in time to those martyred for the faith? Well, maybe in 10 years. Yeah, we'll see. We have the same Jesuit monsters in charge today, except they're getting to the point where they're going to be able to carry out their extirpation of anti-Christian heretics. That's right. They're the anti-Christians of what are heretical to the anti-Christian church, the anti-Christ church. And that's what we are. We are heretics to anti-Christian anti-Christian Christianity, yeah, the anti-Christian church of the man of sin. We are heretics to that. So they will be coming for us as soon as they can get away with it. And they're getting closer every day. Like I said, they're already shutting down people's bank accounts, transaction processors, whether it's PayPal or whatever bank. Many people have lost even their checking accounts for taking a stand. And that's just a political stand. Yeah. Or for life. Yeah. But yeah, it's usually it's a political or and conservative Christian stand. So we can see it all coming together and growing day by day. And their target date for 2030, say 2 years ago, seemed very difficult for them to achieve. But today, it seems like they may get it sooner than later. And that would be just fine with them. So right now they're playing this little game with their, you know, placebo versus transhuman transformation of people. And I believe that when they get it mandated, will be when it is FDA approved, and then the mandates will quickly turn into mandated by the government for everyone, and soon the coming to door to door will be real. They're working on it, believe me. they're just starting to roll it out now, but they don't, once your totalitarian Antichrist Borg rolls something out, they don't stop until the task is completed. They're not going to stop until Christ comes and throws them all down, as we read there in Matthew chapter 24. Because he's going to come, and the political heaven of Satan will be thrown down. They will all fall. And that will be at the Battle of Armageddon, where they will summarily be destroyed, and Jesus will set up his government, and we will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Yeah, you're right, Carrie Ann says. She says, I guess killing us off with poison is easier than burning at the stakes. They have been poisoning people for a millennia. Well, they've been poisoning for at least 100 years the way they're doing it now. They've been perfecting it. Well, that's all the time I have. And I say, may the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. We'll see you next time.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.